begin with verse 1. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of one who was seated on the throne. There was writing on the inside and outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw an angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven, or on earth, or under the earth, was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings among the 24 elders. He has seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out to every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked again, I heard the voices of thousands of millions of angels around the throne and living beings and elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down, worshiping the Lamb. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, as we are wrapping up the church year with a Thanksgiving sermon coming next week and then Advent, I want to share a few thoughts with you about a new song. Now, the book of Revelation is an interesting little book, because it has inspired a lot of doom, gloom, and despair. Most folks had to write a song about Revelation. It sounded like that song off of Hee Haw about woe and agony and despair. Okay, everybody thinks this book is about destruction. God is angry and going to destroy this world, and that's it. And there have been all sorts of movies and video games and craziness, and then the TV preachers come along and they spread confusion about it as well. But this book, though, is not about a revelation about the Antichrist, not a revelation about the beast. From the very beginning of the book, it says this is a revelation from Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ being revealed. This is God's glory being revealed. This is the book that was written to seven churches in modern-day Turkey to give them hope during difficult times. And for some reason here in the year 2021, we think it's a book written to the United States to create all sorts of crazy movies and such and scary stuff. And so I want to go through this morning and talk about the different songs in Revelation, both the songs within the book, but also songs inspired by the book. Okay? Now, in chapter 1, we have the setting of we're on the island of Patmos. And we have a guy named John, and John is in trouble with the Roman authorities, so he has been deported to the island of Patmos on a little prison island. And like, "You've been doing this Christianity stuff too much, you stay here and be quiet." And so John is there, he's praying in the spirit. And one morning, while he is saying his prayers, he hears a voice behind him saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come, the Almighty One. And when John turns around, he sees seven golden stamps. And in the midst of those lamps is someone like the Son of Man. It says he was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were flames like fire. His feet were polished bronze, refined in furnace. And his voice thundered like a mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand and a sharp two-edged sword out of his mouth. And his face like the sun, all its brilliance. And what John learns is those seven lampstands represents the seven churches who are going through these hard times. In the midst of those seven churches, who's there? Jesus in all his glory. And he says, I want you to write this letter. And he says, don't be afraid. I am the first and last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys to death and the grave. Again, this is not a book about doom, gloom, and despair. This is a book of hope. These are churches that are being persecuted, and John says, you're represented by a lamp, and in the midst of those lamps is Jesus. And he holds the keys. A little special effects here. He got the keys to heaven and hell and death. He's the landlord now. And perhaps you remember a song by a gospel group called the Happy Goodmans, called John the Revelator. And it's one of those little foot tapping songs. It's about, he saw John the Revelator, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a loud voice saying, come on higher. John the Revelator saw Jerusalem coming down. And so the next few chapters, these are individual letters written to different churches. And usually he'll say something good about a church, and then he'll also have to correct a church, and then he challenges church. And then there was two churches he had nothing good to say about. They were just all jacked up. Well, then we get to chapter 4, and this is where John is taken up to heaven. And he's taken before the throne room of God. Okay. He says, He saw the one sitting on the throne as bright as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. It talks about a glow of emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. And there was 24 thrones, 24 elders. They were clothed in white, had gold crowns on their heads. Okay. And in front of the throne was a shining sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. And then we have these strange beings that we first read about in the book of Ezekiel. It's talked about in the center around the throne were four living beings, each one covered with eyes running back. The first of the living beings was like a lion, the second like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered with their eyes inside and out. Day after day, and night after night, they kept on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who's still to come. Does anyone know what song that inspired? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So he just sold that out of Revelation. He didn't make that up. And says, whenever living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one on the throne, and they lay down their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they existed because you created what you pleased. So every time the four beasts were singing, holy, 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 the elders would take down their crowns and lay at the feet of God saying, you are worthy. Okay. Well, how the rest of that song goes? casting down their golden crowns beyond the glassy sea. Anytime you hear a song about casting crowns, there's a group called that, Casting Crowns. That comes straight out of Revelation chapter 4, the idea that we give God all the glory and praise and honor. Okay. And then we get to verse 5. John noticed that the Lord has a scroll in his hands. Okay. An angel says, "Who is worthy to open the seal?" And so apparently they sent out a search committee. And the committee says, "Well, no one on heaven or on earth or under the earth is able to open the scroll and read it. We're just out of luck." And John begins weeping terribly because no one's worthy to open the scroll. But then one elder said, "John, stop crying. Look, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll, the seven seals." Okay. Now, when you think of the word lion, what do you think of? You think of a large, magnificent animal with a mane. You think of Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia. You think of royalty. You go home and watch TV on Disney Plus and watch a movie called The Lion King, right? I said Lion King, and really not Tiger King, okay? That's something totally different. My God. Lion King. So John turns to look for a lion. But instead of a lion, he sees what? A lamb. Now, lambs are gentle. They're helpless. They're very easy to be killed. A lion is a predator. A lamb is prey. And he says, "This is a lamb that has been slaughtered, has been slain. But this lamb, though, is worthy to take the scroll and open it." Remember that hymn about, "Worthy is the lamb that was slain." That's where that comes from. Jesus is that paradox of both the lion and the lamb. The lion in the sense that he is the king of creation. But he humbled himself as a sacrificial lamb on Good Friday and died for our sins. And so again, they sang a mighty chorus. "Worthy is the lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." And I like how it says, "Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea, under the earth and in the sea sang." So again, we got more praise and glory to the Lord. Okay? And so one by one, Jesus, the Lamb, breaks these seals. And of course, you've heard the first four seals. That's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They ride throughout history. Okay? Okay? And then it talks about how in chapter 7, they do a shout out about these 12,000 Jews meets the 12 tribes. And so John turns a look at for 144,000 Jews. But instead, though, in chapter 8, verse 9, he says, "I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes, and they held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.' And the angels were saying around the throne, around the elders and the four living beasts, they fell before the throne, their face to the ground, worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Okay. So John looks out and says, "I saw a crowd I couldn't even number. Too many of them. And they weren't just Jewish. Now, there were Jewish people in the crowd, but I saw Jewish people, Egyptians, Greeks, Romans. And over here, say, I saw some Scots, some Irish, Africans. I even saw some Americans walking around that crowd." Okay. and that number. Yeah. And there's a song about that, isn't there? About how when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And isn't it interesting how in New Orleans, when they have a funeral procession, they'll play that tune very slow and mournful to the graveyard. But then they play an upbeat version on the way back, representing life and resurrection. Then verse 13 says, then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed and white, and where do they come from? And I said to him, sir, you're the one who knows. And John's like, I'm a visitor, man. I don't know who these people are. And then he said to me, these are the ones who died in great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. Now, I know you know this one. We sung two verses of it. We're going to sing a third, but we ran out of music. Right? Have you been to Jesus? Have you been to the cleansing flood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's where that song comes from. The idea that as saints, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then the next few chapters goes in on these various visions and such, and you see the forces of evil rise up. And this gets a lot of people's attention and such. Okay? No? But evil, though, gets overthrown. And it's not overthrown by a bomb or by a war or by some Hom-Tok missile. Not by a smart missile, a smart rocket, a new army tank. No, that's not how that works at all. How is it? Who wins this victory? Well, in chapter 19, so after this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, praise the Lord. Well, King James Version is hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute who has corrupted the earth through immortality. He has avenged the murder of his saints. And again the voices rang out, hallelujah! The smoke from that city ascends forever and ever. And the 24 elders and four living beasts fell down and worshiped God from the sitting on the throne. They cried out, amen, praise the Lord. And from the throne came a voice that said, praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from least to greatest. And then again I heard what sounded like a shout of a vast crowd, of a roar of mighty ocean waves, or a crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us glad and rejoice, and let us give him honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. The bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest and pure white linen to wear. For these fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And so it's hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigneth. And then later on in verse 16, talks about how Jesus is wearing these robes that has the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that inspires a song to even people who don't go to church heard of. We've heard it in movies, commercials, and TV shows. But a couple hundred years ago, a guy named George Frederick Handel wrote a musical, Messiah. And he wrote one piece of music that's just been at the very end as the climax. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord our God Almighty reigneth. And in that part about King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the kingdom of this world has now become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Now, And the story is that when George Handel was first performing this in England, King George, not the one from the American Revolution, but a different one, was in the audience. And he was so moved when he heard the Hallelujah chorus for the first time that he stood up. And in England, when the king stands up, everybody stands up. And since then, The tradition is being when you go to a concert and they do highlights from Handel's Messiah, they'll stop and they'll turn to the audience and say, "We're getting ready to do the Hallelujah chorus. Everyone, please stand." And everybody stands up out of tradition as they start singing the song, "Hallelujah, Hallelujah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." That is one of the most joyful songs in classical music and church music. And it comes out of the book of Revelation. Okay. And then we go through and we have Satan being defeated. God is judging the living and the dead. And then we see a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. So this is not beaming up the sky up to heaven. This is heaven coming down to earth. Okay. And then in chapter 22, we have some verses. And these verses actually inspired a Baptist preacher in New York City. Now, I thought it was all someone out in the country. But he wrote this during the Civil War. During the Civil War, there was these battles, and during the battles, all times were near rivers. And the newspapers talk about how the rivers were running red with blood. And this Baptist preacher wrote a song looking forward to chapter 22, verse 1 and following. "And then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. These leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever." Now, we sang that song too, didn't we, just a little while ago. "Shall we gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river that flows by the throne of God?" That's what he was looking forward to. He wasn't looking forward to this doom and gloom that folks want to talk about. He's looking forward to God's kingdom coming to earth. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and waiting for that river to flow by the throne of God. And at the very end of the book, Jesus says in verse 20, "Yes, I am coming soon." And John says, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people." And I was reminded of the song that Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote back in the 70s, inspired by a sermon they heard, called "The King is Coming." The King is coming. And he says, "And thank God he's coming for me." That's where that comes from. The idea of the King Jesus is coming, and he's coming to rule on this earth. And we, as his servants, should be looking for that coming. And so we should not be people of doom, gloom, and despair. We, of all people, should be people of hope. We know things are going to get better because Jesus is coming soon. And they may take a dark twist down the road and this and that, but we've cheated and read the back of the book. We know how it turns out. So my encouragement for you this morning is that turn off the old songs of doom, gloom, and despair and put some new songs in your heart, songs of hope. Quit focusing on what the devil is up to and focus on what God's been up to in your life and in this world. And if you do that, it'll be a change in your life. All right. And now the time has come to open our Methodist hymnals to page 12. As this is Communion Sunday.